From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. Hark, hear the bills, sweet silver bills. It's me, Bill Curtis. And here is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, filling in for Peter Sagal. It's Mike Pesca.
Thank you. Thank you, Jingle Bill, and thanks, everybody. We have got a great show for you today. NBC News correspondent Katie Turr is here talking about her memoir of covering the Trump campaign. It's called Unbelievable, which Trump says describes everything coming out of failing NBC News. I am Mike Pesca. I'm host of The Gist, The Big Question, Where is Peter? He has taken some time to reflect. You see, last week we got dozens of complaints after panelist Paula Poundstone mocked cross-country skiing. And the cross-country skiers were mad. At first we couldn't tell because that look of agony is pretty much the point of the sport. But they were. They stormed NPR's offices, but they were thwarted by the revolving doors. Their complaining did not let up, which happens when you mess with a group with freakishly robust lungs. So to the cross-country skiers, we are sorry, and I think we can all agree, luge is incredibly stupid. So let's talk to someone not boycotting us yet. Give us a call. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Now let us welcome our first listener contestant. Hello, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you. I'm Joanne from Ukiah, California.
Interesting. What do you do in Ukiah?
I'm a family doctor.
Oh, what kind of medicine?
Family practice, womb to tomb.
Womb to tomb.
Oh, I love that. West Side Story. Yeah. Womb to tomb.
You try not to rush that along, I assume.
Yeah. Now, Joanne, let's introduce you to our panel. First up, she's the host of the Fake the Nation podcast and the author of How to Make White People Laugh, available wherever books are sold, which I believe is the internet. It's Nagin Farsad.
Hello.
Next, he is a correspondent for CBS Sunday Morning and the host of the Henry Ford Innovation Nation Saturday Morning on CBS. It's Mo Rocca.
Hi, Joanne.
Finally, we have an author and humorist who the Washington Post once referred to as other notable attendees, Tom Baudet.
True story. Okay. Hello. How are you, Joanne?
Well, welcome to the show, Joanne. As you may have surmised, Bill Curtis is a bit of a chameleon. Not only does his diet consist of insects and ficus leaves, but he also becomes other people. In this game, Who's Bill This Time, he will read you three quotes from the week's news. If you could correctly identify or explain two of them, you will win our prize, the voice of anyone on our show, on your voicemail. Are you ready, Joanne?
Yes.
Excellent. Here is your first quote.
We've got to stop looking like idiots.
That was NBA great and Alabama native Charles Barkley using tough love to inspire people to vote for whom this week?
The Democrat Jones,
yes.
Democrat Jones.
Old man Jones. Yes, on Tuesday, Doug the Democrat Jones defeated Roy, oh God, do we really have to admit he's a Republican more, in Alabama. And you know, the vote was close, but it wasn't that close. It wasn't a difference of 10 or 14,000 votes. It was 21,000 votes, and 21 ain't 14, as Roy Moore can tell you. And this goes to show you. It does go to show you. If a Democrat can win.
I was going to say too soon. But it's never too soon, really, for him, is it?
It does go to show. If a Democrat can win in deep red state Alabama, a Democrat can win anywhere that the Republican nominee is a racist, homophobic, twice kicked off the state Supreme Court accused child molester.
That's true. And there is hope in that. You know, I have to say, I am so glad that election is over. You know, I used to have to take news breaks just, you know, to keep from getting stressed out. And lately, I felt like I had to take them to keep from getting an infection.
Roy Moore also immediately just said, I refuse to concede. I think he wants to pursue a recount. Now, if he wants that, he's going to need a good legal team. And I know at least one of his lawyers might be busy with dreidel-related activities these next few days. Did you see that? As,
yeah.
You know, part of the mounting case to vote for Roy Moore, we have a Jew lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Forward-looking.
Only one?
Yeah. And you wonder why you lost.
How could he be against same-sex marriage with that vest? No, I know it's not original to say, but it's so gay rodeo.
Yeah.
It's so gay rodeo emeritus, like somebody who competed in the Bronco busting like in the 70s.
That's right. The last time I saw someone wearing the vest, he had the Indian to the left of him and the construction worker to the right. Yeah. That's not an anti-gay marriage. Look. All right, Joanne, here is your next quote.
I don't get to watch much television, primarily because of documents. I'm reading documents a lot.
That was someone insisting he doesn't have time to watch TV, despite reports he watches up to 8 hours a day. Who is that someone, Joanne?
Trump.
It is Trump. This week, thanks to a long article in the New York Times, we got new insight into the lifestyle of the president. He drinks 12 Diet Cokes a day. Only he can touch the TV remote. He sometimes stays in his pajamas until 10 a.m. Don't be appalled by that. This is good news. Are you upset that he wanders around in his PJs? He could sleep naked. Imagine getting that image out of your head.
I love that 12 Diet Cokes detail because it finally answers the question, how many Diet Cokes does it take to make you an existential threat to the country? Now we know.
Yeah.
And he watches so much television. Mm-hmm. Like he watches, but the funny thing is like he watches the most heinous kind of television, just like 24-hour news. Like why doesn't someone introduce him to The Crown? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like why isn't he binge? Like he would actually probably be a better president if he binged watched something.
Seriously.
Well, I heard he sleeps only 4 hours a night, and if he watched The Crown, that would help with that. Mm. I'm just saying the pacing.
I love The Crown.
Some people like The
How
Crown.
Dare you? It is every son's responsibility to watch The Crown with his mother, and I do that.
Okay.
I binge watched it with her, and you should too.
All right, here now, your last quote.
You can consume it without using a knife, like a power bar for vegan weirdos.
That was a review from Thrillist about what new item in the produce section, Joanne?
Can I have help?
Yeah, I'll give you help. Take seedless grapes and marry them to guacamole, and you have something like this.
Some kind of knife?
It's the antidote for knife play. It's a pitless avocado.
So, oh, boy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's here. People trying to cut avocados kept cutting themselves with knives, which is why I always carry a sidearm. So now scientists have developed the pitless avocado.
Well, I don't even understand how you cut yourself. Because the pit gets in the way. I mean, the pit is the safety valve.
It's the stopper.
Exactly. So now people are going to be cutting their hands open because they're going to be expecting the pit.
The pit. They're going to forget.
Right. And I thought the pit was the best part. And everywhere you go now, it's like the avocado toast. It's like, I think McDonald's has it on their menu now.
Yeah, you know? Well, that is the problem with this, because avocado toast, fine, we take away the pit, you're not going to hurt yourself with a knife, but the toast still requires a flame, does it not? The carnage will continue.
I don't understand, how will we grow more avocados if there are no pits?
Exactly, these are the mules of the avocado now, aren't they?
Yeah.
I think you may have thought this one step further than the scientists
did. They're like the shakers of vegan food.
Yes, right. I mean, it's going to be all about recruitment. And
so it's like a Handmaid's Tale for avocados. It's a dystopia. Have any of you guys seen what this thing looks like?
It looks looks like a pickle.
No, yes.
It looks like a cucumber. But the other thing is, though, that you're supposed to, you can eat the skin, so you don't need to use a knife ever.
Yeah.
And also, you get that delicious, hard exterior in your mouth.
Mm-hmm. Wait, this is new?
Oh, yeah, the flavor.
You can eat it. Like, that's one of the things. They genetically modified it so that you can eat it now.
Oh, they've turned it into eggplant, another flavorless, formless substance covered by a hard edible rind.
All right, Bill, how did Joanne do?
Dr. Joanne was right 2 out of 3 times, and that means she's in for a win.
Thank you, Joanne.
Thank you.